someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
When it comes to finance and strategy, he is a mastermind. He is sought after as one who can balance customers' needs while guiding international businesses as they navigate very complex territory. Currently the Chief Financial Officer for Citi's Institutional Clients Group, he is the one who is not afraid to give back to institutions that have poured into his life. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is a true son of Howard, our 2017 Charter Day Speaker, Trustee Mark Mason. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, President Frederick. Happy to be here.
So tell me a little bit about where you grew up, Trustee Mason.
Sure. I'm from Queens, New York. I grew up in South Jamaica, Queens. Was raised by my mother, have a younger brother, and we had a pretty close-knit family right off of Van Wyck Expressway and Linden Boulevard, right before you get to JFK Airport.
Okay. And what was your childhood like growing up in Queens?
Well, you know, my childhood was, I had a good childhood. It was tough. My mother was a single parent and raised my brother and I, and we didn't have much, but we had a lot of family. My grandparents were around, and I had lots of aunts and uncles there to provide us support and guidance, and so it was a good childhood, but it was one that was short of money in ways. And so, you know, I learned very early on the importance of hard work and the correlation between that and achievement and money.
And what were some of the things that you think were important in terms of activities you participated in, given the lack of financial resources that today, you know, kind of steered you in the direction that you obviously took?
Yeah. You know, both of my grandfathers were entrepreneurs. My mother's father was a carpenter, and my father's father was a landscaper. And very early on, I worked with them during the summers. And in some ways, I guess for them, it was a form of cheap labor. And for my mother, it was a form of childcare. But for me, it was an opportunity, again, to learn the importance of hard work, to make a little bit of money, and to be able to actually put a little bit of something back into the house. One of the things that my mother's father always taught me was, you always have to put some money back into the house. And he paid me about $5 a week, and he charged me $1 a day for lunch during the summer. And so I'd ask my mother for the dollar for lunch, and he'd pay me $5 at the end of the week. And then he said, you got to give some of that back to your mother. You got to put some money back in the house. So that sense of responsibility and giving back to the family were two important things that I think I learned early on.
Now, in terms of your education, tell me what your schools were like, you know, when you grew up in Queens.
Yeah. So I went to the public schools in Queens, straight through elementary school was probably in the nearby neighborhood. And then my mother decided that the schools in Queens weren't right for my brother and I. And so we ended up going to school out in Flushing, which was a better neighborhood. And my mother used my godmother's address so that we could get into that school. And hopefully the statute of limitations has run out on that offense. but that was her way of getting us to a better academic environment. And one of the things that my family stressed was the importance of an education. And that manifested itself in probably the old saying of you've got to do twice as much as the next person to get just as far ahead in life. And that was something that we practiced. And that focus, I think, went a long way.
And you also attended high school there as well?
I did. I went to Jamaica High School, which is in Queens as well. And, you know, Jamaica High School at that time was a very good school. It was a mixed population, but it was a school that afforded me the opportunity to really develop some leadership skills. I quickly got involved in student government. And played a leadership role through most of my high school while still trying to make sure that academically I was performing, because there was a lot of pressure at home to bring home good grades, and that same kind of pressure my wife Carolyn and I put on our kids.
Now, why Howard?
Yeah, you know, Howard, why not, right? I mean, Howard, I came to know Howard through my grandmother. She was the first person that mentioned Howard to me. She was from Harlem, New York. She had never gone to college, but she was brilliant. She was a voracious reader, and she had learned of Howard and would refer to it as the Mecca of Black education. And she bragged about the med school here, and she wanted me to find the cure for her arthritis. So that combined with a visit that I made early on with some of my high school buddies really sealed the deal for me. And Howard, you know, Howard became a place that I acknowledged the rich history that was here, the leaders that had come out of this institution, and all of those things were motivational and inspirational for me.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Trustee Mark Mason. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So you decided to come to Howard. Obviously, you're coming out of the public school system in Queens. What were the most jarring differences from your high school that you met here at Howard? And tell me what your time was like when you first got here.
Yeah. Well, like I said, the high school I went to in Queens was a mixed high school, mixed population. And so coming to Howard, you know, as you know, we're predominantly, you know, Black institution. And so that was a noticeable difference, but a prideful difference, quite honestly. And while people think about it as a historically Black university, which it is, there's so much diversity in that. And I think that diversity became very obvious to me. People from all different backgrounds, from all over the world, coming to Howard to learn, coming to Howard to appreciate the history that it has to offer, and also witnessing the evolution and development of future leaders. And all of those things were incredibly valuable for me here.
Now, you obviously went to the business school. What about the business school and your training there you thought was unique in terms of preparing you for what you do today?
I started at Howard as a pre-med major, physician's assistant, actually. You know, I was trying to kind of figure out that cure for arthritis thing. But early on, you know, I spent time with one of my best friend's father. He was an entrepreneur. And he'd come and take us to dinner, and he'd talk to me about business and talk to me about money and how it was made and how to use it. And early on, I switched my major to accounting and ultimately to finance. And that was an incredible preparation for me. I studied under Dr. Philip Fanara, Dr. Baron Harvey, and the amount of attention and energy that they put into preparing me and other students was just incredible. One of the things that resonates with me is in finance at the School of Business at Howard, an accredited business school, we use the case study method to study finance. And at the time, I didn't have an appreciation for how impactful and meaningful that would be. But after going on to Wall Street and working for a couple years at Goldman and then being accepted into Harvard Business School, newfound appreciation. Harvard Business School only uses the case study method. And in my opinion, I came in advantaged because of my learning experience and the methodologies used here right at Howard.
Now, obviously, you're in a major financial institution that has offices all over the world, has a very, very complex organizational structure. Tell the listeners a little bit about what you do presently in your role.
Sure. So I work for Citigroup. Citigroup is a global financial services firm in nearly 100 countries that has a rich history of almost more than 200 year history. We cover both consumer clients in businesses like retail banking and credit cards and mortgages, in terms of the products we use and serve and provide to those clients. And we cover institutional clients, both corporate clients, largely multi-internationals, and investor clients. And those businesses, those two segments make up each about half of our revenues as an organization. I'm the chief financial officer for our institutional client group. So this is the part of the business where we have our cash management and transaction and treasury services business. We have our capital markets business, where we cover both corporate and investor clients. And we have our private bank, where we cover ultra high net worth clients. And we have our investment banking business, where we provide M&A advisory services, equity capital markets and debt capital markets origination services. And so that collection of businesses is the business that I provide support to from a financial point of view. And as the chief financial officer, my responsibility includes all of the elements of financial management around the income statement, the balance sheet, the reporting associated with that, the planning and analysis, et cetera, et cetera. But probably equally important from ensuring that those reporting and controls are right is I serve as a partner and advisor to the business. And that is I serve to provide strategic advice and business perspective on how to better serve our clients, how to do that in a more productive way, how to manage our expenses around that, and how to truly identify a competitive advantage relative to some of the other players in the space.
Now, obviously, Howard University is celebrating its 150th anniversary. Tell me what your perspective about Howard's 150 years is.
You know, this is obviously a very special charter day. And my perspective is it highlights, again, the richness of the history of this organization. It forces one to think back to the premises for which we were founded. It forces us to reflect on the mission and the values of the university. It checks us to make sure that we're continuing to deliver against that mission and those values. And so all of those things are part of the reflection as we sit here on the 150th founding, you know, of Howard. At the same time, it forces me and all of us to look forward. And to think about what Howard will mean to this generation, and to think about the importance that we all carry as members of the Howard community to continue that rich legacy, right? And continue to ensure that we're educating Black students and that we're positioning Howard for the next 150 years. That's our collective responsibility. And I think a day like today, a weekend like this weekend, is an important time for us all to really come together and acknowledge the past, acknowledge our legacy, and together look forward to how we preserve the importance and significance of this great institution.
Now, for students who are here today at Howard University and want to get into the world of finance, to get to Wall Street, what is your advice for them based on your own career path? As you look back at the experiences that you have, what would be your advice to them?
Well, one, I think you're in a good place. I think you're in a great place. I don't think that I would have been able to accomplish what I've accomplished in business and in finance if I didn't have the foundation that Howard provided. I'd also say that there's really no substitute for hard work. And this is an institution, and in many ways, this is a world that we live in where you can get out of it as much as you put in. And so I'd say, you know, one, work really hard. Put everything you've got into what you want to do and what you aspire to do. Two, think big. I think it's important that we not let our fears get in the way of what is truly achievable. My wife always says to me, and she bought me a table desk piece that says, "What would you attempt to do if you knew you could not fail?" And I think this is a motto that our students and that people should live by, to really challenge themselves and push themselves. I'd also say that no one person accomplishes anything by him or herself. And so, you know, develop mentors, develop relationships, leverage those to really get to where you need to get to. And equally important, give back. I think those are a couple of principles that I think are incredibly valuable. And should help most of us achieve most of what we want to get to, but certainly in business as well.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Trustee Mark Mason, the 2017 Charter Day Orator. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.